Good morning, everyone. Some of you all know me, some of you all don't, but my prayer is, even if you never get to meet me or know anything else about me, that you at least hear what God has done for me in my life. So with that being said, I'm just standing in front of you today because I want to outline the reason that I want to be baptized, that I want to proclaim basically what's happened, what Jesus has done for me. I'm from the South, New Orleans to be exact. I was raised Baptist, grew up with Josh, the Miles, grew up with them, lived right down the street, did everything together. My dad is a minister, so because of that, I've always been in a number of different churches hearing about God, whether it's Catholic church in high school, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, everything. But I've just never heard the gospel clearly. I may have heard it, but of course my heart was really hard. It was just always sort of, this is how you ought to live, and Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that was it. I thought I gave my life to Christ at around the age of 10, and I was baptized shortly after. There was conviction of sin, but no repentant lifestyle up and throughout high school. This took a drastic turn for the worse when I was finally out of home and into college. I joined a fraternity that led to sins that I wouldn't have dared engage in under my parents' watch. This was at a time that I knew about God, loved to debate about his existence, but didn't even know him for myself. My sin led to what I thought had been the answer to Hurricane Katrina happening, and that was me meeting my ex-girlfriend. Our relationship led to us living together for 2 years. We were in a fake marriage, and my other hidden sins gradually formed an image of what and how I thought she should be and act. And our love for each other was just lust and what each of us could do for the other person. God used the pain, the failures, and betrayals in that relationship to show me that I will never find ultimate satisfaction in my flesh. And I also want to say thank you to Josh, Omri, conversations that I had with him, and everybody that God used to draw me out of my sin. I knew something was wrong with the way that I was living, and I wanted out. I cried out to God for the first time about a year ago. I begged God to please save me from my sinful life. I was also faced with the decision after graduation to move back to New Orleans and still pursue my ex for marriage or to move to Phoenix and grow. Well, I'm here standing in front of you today that God is sovereign, God is merciful, and when I was in the deepest parts of sin, God had already determined before time that he would save me. I am now here boasting in my Savior. Holy, 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 proclaim the seraphim to each other. And how set apart is this God that I am proclaiming in baptism today that became my unholiness for all of the fornicating, lusting, lying, deceitful, evil sins that I committed, and he poured them out on himself and his son Jesus Christ on the cross. Instead of me, which I deserve, that I may have a relationship with him. And this atoning death of Christ and salvation is for those only who believe in this work. Colossians 2:13-14 says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And, you know, I just want to say to anyone that's out here, if you're not a believer, I plead and urge you to please repent and be baptized. Don't trust in being good enough, growing up in church, or in your parents being saved. I just pray that you will see the glorious work of what God has done through his son, Jesus, on the cross in place of what we all deserve. Be a part of this body, his church, and fellowship with us in Thanksgiving, communion, small group, and everything that we do that brings glory to him as the Spirit sanctifies us. Baptism doesn't save me. It is an outward display of an inward change. And that's why I'm being baptized today.
Daniel, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning. I am so nervous. Good morning. My name is Courtney Green. I grew up going to a Lutheran church and school in Chicago. However, as a young girl, I don't remember learning or knowing how to develop a personal relationship with Christ at home. When I was in fifth or sixth grade, I was being taught evolution in school. I can remember telling my mom that I believed this new, at least to me, theory of evolution. She immediately took me to see our pastor. I can't remember everything that from that conversation, but I do remember him saying something along the lines of, well, God created the animals. I thought, of course he did. Who else could have created something as magnificent and fierce as a lion? Somehow, it just made perfect sense. That was not the day I was saved. Quite honestly, I can't tell you the exact year, month, day, hour, or minute that Christ saved me. But as I look back now, I can tell that there was a season of my life in which God graciously drew me near to him. See, I was a slave to sin for a very long time. I understood there was a God, but had a heart of stone and was blind to righteous obedience. I went back to church when my daughter was about 3 months old, mainly because it was the right thing to do. But truthfully, I was terrified. At the time, I was a single mom searching in all the wrong places for an earthly father for my daughter. About 3 years ago, I was regularly attending a local church on Sundays and continued to live my life the rest of the week. During this time, the pastor started a series on Psalm 23. As we were walking through the psalm, he was also teaching us about sheep, how stupid they are, and how desperate they are for a shepherd. Each week, I felt like the pastor was solely speaking to me. God was surely opening my eyes to his truth. I was living a sinful life, and I was in desperate need of a shepherd. I can't tell you what day that series started or even how long that series lasted. But what I know for sure is that on my way home, on my way home from that first day of the series, I drove by a pasture with sheep I had never seen or noticed this pasture or these sheep prior to this day. At the time, my daughter and I lived about 35 miles southeast of the church. And each day we went to church, there they were. Hundreds of sheep in the pasture. On the last day of that series, those sheep were gone. And I instantly felt comforted. God brought to mind the truth that was shared with me straight from his word in Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God poured his righteous, holy cup of wrath out so that a sinful, unrighteous girl would be washed clean by his perfect, precious son's blood. All of this was done out of pure, undeserving love for me. Today, I am able to stand confident that I have been united with my Savior, and I am able to humbly boast in his amazing grace. I am reminded of song lyrics that clearly articulate what our Savior has done. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. God revealed that he is more than enough of a father for my daughter, companion, friend, and leader for me. Once that truth took root in my heart, God faithfully brought me an earthly husband and father for my daughter. We have been married for 1.5 years, and together we continue to strive for submission and obedience to our Heavenly Father in marriage, parenting, and our walk with Christ. My prayer today is that God's truth will be heard, and another lost little girl will be found. I want to be baptized because I now know what it means to walk with Christ in full submission and obedience.
Courtney, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Matt Peterson, would you come boast in your Savior?
From my beginning, I've been a sinner against God, both because of my inherited status to be and my choice to be. But God saved sinners. He saved me. I'm not quite sure the exact timing of my salvation. However, I do know my life story so far and how God has changed my heart to an understanding and trust of what he accomplished as outlined in the gospel. I can view past events and be reminded of what the gospel is and its implications. I, a sinful being, am reminded of the necessity of the gospel, the response to the gospel, and the grace realities and identities I now have because of the gospel. An experience that helped display that helps display God's grace towards me occurred at a high school church retreat. We were divided into teams, and in order to receive pork chops for dinner, each team had to perform certain tasks and earn the needed amount of points. I can't see out of an eye, too well out of an eye, so I have horrible depth perception and failed my group in various sports competitions. Because of my sin of fearing people, I refused to participate in group discussions, refused to give my testimony. Again, I failed my team and we lost points. I got the sense that I was unwanted, not loved, a burden to my team. Up to that point, I thought I had been able to hide from my church friends the fact that I was actually a loser, a failure, weak, a coward. Now I was exposed. My team didn't get enough points to have the good dinner. I felt shame and did for the rest of the day. At dinner, everybody else was given pork chops, and my team was presented with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. My shame intensified, but what happened next, God used to heal my heart. The leaders got up and gave us their meals and served my team the rest of the night. We were the biggest losers and received the best service. And my pastor gave a message on the grace, on grace and the people Jesus died for. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I was shown Jesus that night. I went to bed crying, starting to believe, I think, for the first time, that God really loves me. I had grown up thinking that I needed to earn God's love, that I needed to prove to him something. But he showed me that he loved me as I was, a guilty sinner and someone greatly hurt by other sin done against me. In college, my pastor preached a sermon on substitutionary atonement. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." He preached something I don't think I've ever heard before, that God punished Jesus in my place, that Jesus actually felt the shame of my sin and the sin done against me, that he had the sinful thoughts I had and have, that he became sin and God's wrath that was supposed to go to me and other believers was against him. In my place, Jesus bore the wrath that I deserve. As I understood and believed this truth more, I trusted God more and more in the implications of the gospel. I trusted God more in what he says is true about me. The gospel is the source to how I am to live this life. I have been given a changed heart that now wants and has the ability to obey him. I have found myself forgiving others more because the sin of others against me doesn't even compare to the magnitude of sin I have committed against God. Mm-hmm. I'm going to renew my mind every day that because Jesus died for me and God was satisfied, I've been declared righteous, that I'm no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness, that the old man is gone, that the new man has come, that I'm a new creature, that I have a new nature, that I'm no longer under law, I'm under grace, I'm no longer condemned, that God will no longer view me as a failure, that he loves me, and no matter what I do or don't do, he'll never love me more or less than he loves me now. I am his. I want to be baptized because God commands us to be baptized. In the past, I've disobeyed this because of my sin to fear man more than I fear God. But God is maturing me to fear man less, and he's been using this church to help with that maturing. So I wanted to share this with you guys.
Oh.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for boasting of your Savior. That's awesome.
Matt, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
McKenna Pagel, would you come boast in what your God has done for you?
McKenna Pagel. I was adopted into the Pagel family when I was just a baby. I grew up with parents that were believers, and I had three older brothers who also were believers at an early age. I was raised in an environment that just loved the Lord, and they preached the gospel daily, and they were very obedient, and I just had the atmosphere of loving God and loving His Word. Something happened. When I was 9, we adopted my little sister, Abby, into our family. I wanted a little sister really bad with three older brothers. And the first day we got her, I was so excited. But that night, I wasn't excited. Jealousy set in. I was so jealous that she took my place as the baby. And hatred. I hated her. I was bitter, and I was very angry. And I let that sit in there. I didn't repent of that. Summer camp of my freshman year, June 2007, my brother Mick pulled me aside. He was crying, and he told me of how he just had not been seeing any fruit in my life at all. He then told me how he felt I was an unbeliever, and I was so scared. I cried with him. I had an emotional night, and I prayed. And I thought I was saved, but I wasn't. Went home happy. 2 weeks later, I was back to hating my sister and just being disobedient to my parents and not loving on anyone in my family. I showed no love. I was so hard-hearted and so cold towards the gospel and toward the things of God. So went through high school just living for myself, acting like a Christian, being the good girl, but I wasn't. I wasn't saved. My heart was so evil and not wanting to be anything like our Savior. So graduated from high school, got through that this summer. My mom decided to do the Seeking Him study with me and my two friends. In that study, there's a chapter called Repentance, and there's 5 questions it lists that really tell if you're a believer or not. I couldn't answer yes to any of them, but it didn't bother me. I didn't care. I was like, oh, okay, I'll think about it later. That day, I got in an argument with my parents. Like usual, my critical spirit was just there, and I wasn't backing down. I justified for all my actions. So I went to bed and just was like, oh, I'll pray about it in the morning. My parents came in that night at 11 o'clock, and they just looked at me, and I could see the pain on their face and their love for me. They had never stopped talking about the gospel with me. They had never stopped chasing me with the gospel and with love. My mom then asked me how I thought I could be saved if I couldn't answer those 5 questions on repentance. I just sat there with my arms crossed. I was so cold to her. I didn't care. I was so numb to the things of God. And I was so lost, and I couldn't hear. I didn't want to see either. My mom then said that I had 2 days to come to her if I was saved or not. They left. We talked until 3 in the morning, with me just standing there not wanting to admit my sin. My mom left, and I sat there. I sat there for hours just thinking, what was going on with me? Like, why am I so hard-hearted? And I was thinking about the repentance questions and verses on being a fool in the Bible and Proverbs. It then hit me that I wasn't a believer. I went down to my knees and I begged God for forgiveness and repentance. He granted me a new heart and a new identity in Christ, and He gave me the identity and threw away my old self. I humbled myself before a holy God and finally surrendered my life to Him. I then went into my parents' room and cried and asked them for forgiveness, and just rested in God's grace towards me. 2 days later, I told my parents that God had saved me, and we all rejoiced together in God's love and faithfulness towards me. I now truly desire God's word, and I'm so grateful for His mercy, and I'm so grateful for giving me the parents that I have. They never stopped loving me, and they never stopped pursuing me with the gospel. And so I'm here to be baptized today out of obedience to my Lord and to bring glory to my Savior.
McKenna, it is my pleasure, because of your profession of faith, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Camille Miles, would you come tell us what Jesus has done for you?
Good morning. My name is Camille Miles, and today I would like to share with you how God made me alive in Christ. First of all, I did not grow up in a Christian home. My parents divorced when I was 12, which was really hard for me. And at the time, I blamed my rebellion on the divorce, but my circumstances were not to blame. According to the Bible, I was born a sinful heathen, and I was in love with my sin. I was a slave to it. It controlled me. I was a God-hater who lived a life filled with impurity, fear, pride, and lying. I had superficial dating relationships since I could remember, searching for love. Without my earthly father around, I was trying to earn love from males, but never felt satisfied. And this whole time, I thought I was a good person. But Romans 3:12 says, "No one does good, not even one." My heart was deceitful above all things, and desperately sick. When I was a sophomore in college, Josh Miles, who's now my husband, invited me to a Christian conference, and I heard the gospel. It wasn't the first time I heard it, but this time was different. This time, I saw the beauty and weightiness of the cross. This whole time, I had been searching for love to fill the void in my heart. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved me, even when I was dead in my trespasses, and dead I was, He made me alive together with Christ. Really? God loves me. The all-powerful, holy God of the universe loves me. And I don't have to earn His love? Wow. This is good news. God loved me dearly, so much that He crushed His only Son for my filthy, heinous sins. Jesus Christ bore God's wrath against sin for me, the perfect one, and He is punished so that the guilty are set free? Who does that? My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ does. But that's not all. Jesus defeated death, and he rose from the grave. Who does that? My Lord and Savior does. And he does it for all who will trust in him. That night, I cried out to God, repented of my sins, and trusted in Christ and in him alone. The gospel transformed my life, and my desires changed, my friends changed, my life changed. I am a new creation, and I continue to live a life of repentance. And I take no credit. I loved my sin and was deep in it, but God snatched me up while I was dead in my sins. No man can love me like Jesus does, and all praises and glory go to him. He gets all the props. And today, I'm getting baptized to publicly identify myself with my Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Camille, I'm glad you live here now.
Me too.
Camille, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Josh, I don't know how you're going to follow that up. Come boast in your Savior.
Good morning. My name is Joshua Miles. That's my wife. And this morning I'd like to share how the Lord brought me from a state of spiritual darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, Jesus. So I grew up in a home with Christian parents who were believers, and at the age of 6, I was actually baptized, and I confessed Christ as Lord at a young age. But as time went on, it became real evident that I didn't know God, because even though most people thought I was a great kid, I secretly just lived out the evil intentions of my heart. In high school, I began bucking against my parents and the household rules, and when I got to college, it just got even worse, as I basically lived life how I wanted. The sin of my wicked heart that for so long was hidden behind moralism and religiosity slowly began to rise to the surface where I and many others could see it. In 2005, though, I was a junior in college in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's where I'm from. And because of Hurricane Katrina, I had to move to Houston for 4 months. During this time, the Lord used a few different circumstances to break me and just show me how empty my life was. He began to show me that even though I knew the contents of the gospel, that I had lived my life for me. By God's grace, one day I was reading the scriptures, and I remember being rocked by Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and finally realizing that I had never really been a disciple of Christ, even though I claimed to know him. Jesus in verse 23 says that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. When I read that, I knew that there was no way that I had been a Christian, because I had been living my life for myself and not as a disciple of Christ. I'm not sure if that's the day that the Lord saved me or not, but by God's grace, he began exposing my pride, my dependence on my own works, and my misunderstanding of the gospel on a heart level. I knew it intellectually, but I didn't understand it on a heart level because it never produced repentance. And the Lord brought me to a place where I started to see that my only hope was in Jesus and his finished work at Calvary. I started to see that there was nothing that I could do to make myself right with God. He wasn't like the girls that I was chasing, where I could just do certain things that made them like me more. It was the death of Jesus and his death alone that brought reconciliation, And when I finally realized this, I clung to it, and I began repenting of my sin. For the first time in my life, I actually had a heart that loved God and desired to submit to Him. For the first time in my life, I didn't love the things that God hates, and I began running all of my decisions through the scriptures in order to see what God had to say about them. So in January of 2006, I ended up going back to New Orleans, and I went back different. I wasn't the athlete that idolized track. I wasn't chasing females anymore. But I was a sinner who had recognized his sin, been reconciled to God through Christ, and was pursuing holiness. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, He had given me new life as well. So that's my testimony, and I pray that if you don't know Jesus, that you would ask questions and just desire to come and know this God that we're all talking about and that we're boasting in today. He's more beautiful than all earthly treasures, and I guarantee you that life in Christ is infinitely better than anything you'll ever experience and anything that this world has to offer. So I'm here to be baptized today out of obedience to Christ and also to declare that Jesus made me new by giving me life in Himself. Thank you.
Love you, bro.
Love you.
Josh, because of your profession of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lauren Jungbluth, we would love to hear what Jesus has done for you.
Good morning, and hi, my name is Lauren Jungbluth. I started going to Sunday school when I was 3 years old. I really enjoyed it a lot, and I learned lots of wonderful things about Jesus. I was a small child who loved Jesus, but I didn't understand fully what it meant to be a sinner. I thought I was a good kid, and I didn't get into much trouble, and that was enough. So even though I said I was a Christian and I loved Jesus, I would still do mean things to my brother for no reason. Every week on Sunday school, we would learn that Jesus loved us so much that He died on the cross for our sins. Well, I understood the first part. He loves me, and I love Him too. But He died on the cross for my sin. That part was still a little fuzzy. I heard the scriptures Romans 3:23 and John 3:16, and I even memorized them. But what did they mean to me in my life? During a Wednesday night service at church, my heart humbled and I saw sin. I realized that although I was a good kid, I was also a liar who disobeyed my parents, and sometimes I was mean to my brother and other things. And all of those were what Jesus died on the cross for me. I was not a good kid. I was a sinner. Jesus said, I asked Jesus to be my Savior that night when I was 6 years old, and He saved me because He loves me. Now I'm not a perfect kid now. Sin has become more visible as I've gotten older and more mature in my faith. Because I made that decision when I was 6, Jesus is with me and helps me to make better decisions. I have peace because I know that Jesus is in control of my life. I try my best to obey my parents because I know that's what Jesus commands me to do. I've been told by people that meet me that they can see my light. It makes me happy because I know Jesus's light is shining through. I just know that Jesus is always with me and that I want to follow His word and have Him be the leader of my life. I want to be the light for others and always trust Him. I'm being baptized today and obeying His word to proclaim Him as Savior and to show my love for Him and for what He did for me on the cross.
Thank you. Lauren, it was such a blessing to be able to sit with you the other day and just listen to what Jesus is doing in your life and in your love for the Lord. And because of your profession of faith, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Abigail Ryan, it is your turn to boast in your Savior.
Good morning. My name is Abigail Ryan, and I am 10 years old. I would like to be baptized today to be identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. When I was 5.5 years old, I would often ask my dad if he thought I was ready to understand the gospel during our family devotion times. He would tell me about the gospel, for example, God's holiness and my sinfulness, but I had more to learn and understand. But then on May 21st, 2006, when my dad and I were finishing the book of Esther, I asked him how beautiful he thought Esther was. He told me that he and Mom would see her in heaven someday, and that if God saved me, that I would also see her. This started another conversation about God's holiness, my sinful state, and the need of a Savior, and that the wages of my sin was death. I begged my dad to tell me how I could be forgiven of my sins and saved from eternity in hell. We talked more about Jesus' death, that he had to shed his blood for my sins, and that the free gift of God is eternal life. I then confessed and repented of my sin. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. As Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, I now know the plans God has for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me hope and a future. God has given me a wonderful life of faith. I have sensed God working in my heart to convict me of sin and helping me step by step to be more like him. I have seen my love for him and others grow. I also see God's Spirit helping me to understand and obey his word more and more. God has blessed me with a little sister and is helping me to think of others rather than myself. God has blessed me with so many blessings. God helped me to understand what Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection means. He also gave me wonderful Christian parents and a wonderful home. My God is an awesome God. I want to get baptized today because I want to obey and honor my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and publicly confess of his saving work in my life.
Thank you. Great job.
Abigail, because of what the Lord has done in your life, it is my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Matthew Pagel, come boast in your Savior.
I want to thank everyone for coming again. As Smed said, my name is Matt Pagel. I think of my childhood in three stages. Two of those stages were before my parents were believers, and then there was the phase right after they were saved. Before my parents became believers, I was obviously living a life full of sin, utterly depraved and hopeless. I was a God-hater, but was still too young to even know what that meant. After my parents became Christians when I was 7 years old, a lot of things changed for me. But those changes were external. Once my parents started instituting biblical discipline in our house, I eventually became a very compliant child. One who would, for the most part, do what his parents said and didn't get into a ton of trouble. I was quite literally protecting my own backside and I was, all in all, a pretty good kid. Or so I thought. What I didn't realize was that just because I cleaned up my act and started doing good things and being a little bit better, I was no more acceptable to God than if I did a bunch of really, really heinous things. This clean-cut kid who obeyed his parents, went to church every Sunday, and did and said all the right things was the exact same to God as the worst sinner imaginable. All of my good works were filthy rags to him. However, that all changed during the third stage, my 9th or 10th grade year in high school. Finally, God broke through my dead, self-righteous heart, and I was able to comprehend the actual truth. I was a wretched, hopeless, self-loving, selfish, prideful sinner, and I was heading straight for hell. One of my favorite words in the Bible is the small three-letter word, but God. While I was still a sinful God-hater, God sent his son. He sent his perfect, sinless son to be sin on my behalf to pay for all the sins that I have ever or will ever do. And not only that, but I got all of Christ's righteousness. It was the most ridiculous, lopsided transaction there ever could be. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. He was punished so that I could have peace. And by his stripes, I was healed. After I became a believer, things were radically different. My motivation changed from wanting to please men to wanting to please God. My works became acts of praise to him instead of building myself up. But the flesh was still present in me. I still sinned, and it was very frustrating. I would frequently get down on myself and think there's no way that God would forgive me again for that sin. I know that if I was God, I would have kicked me to the curb a long time ago. How can I be a Christian and continue to do these things that God hates? I would be depressed and melancholy, and I was my own harshest critic. Just like I minimized the cross to save me from specific sins before I was a believer or a Christian, I was now minimizing the cross as a believer for victory over those same sins. However, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe, and Jesus' sacrifice was greater than even my immense multitude of sins. His grace is sufficient for me even when I feel worthless. I know that God looks at me as if I've never, ever sinned, because he's now looking at his son. God is just as committed to my sanctification as he was to my justification. For this reason, I think my testimony might be more of an exhortation for believers. It seems to me that some of my most hideous sins I committed after God saved me. But still, he continues to love me as if I've never done anything wrong. I praise God that nothing can snatch me out of his hand, because if God's love was conditional, I would have lost it a long time ago. The cross's power does not stop at the point that God saves us, but must be fervently remembered throughout the life of every believer, and I praise God for that. So I'm here to be baptized in order to be obedient and to boast in what Jesus has done and will continue to do in my life.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt, what a glorious day. Thank you. Matt, based on your profession of faith, your love for Jesus Christ, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Lindsay Jackson, would you come boast in your Savior? Do you want your jacket on?
Good morning. My name is Lindsay Jackson. I was raised in a Christian home and went to church every Sunday. And I went to private Christian school as well. I became very good at playing church and was really good at fooling people. It was at a summer camp sophomore year of high school. The Lord opened my eyes to see who He is and how much I needed a Savior to cover my sin, and only Jesus' blood could cover my sin. I confessed my sin to God. Unfortunately, I did little to grow in the new heart God had given me. I became lukewarm and was very content with the circumstances I had. Life was good. I had parents who were together, friends, and a relationship with a boy who cared about me. It was easy to say I loved God when things were going good. I began to find contentment in the things of this world and push God far to the side, only to seek Him when it was convenient for me. I was in control, and everything was going the way I had wanted it to. However, my Savior had a different plan in mind. It was my last summer camp of my senior year. We were all sitting in the amphitheater, and the pastor asked all the students whose parents were divorced to raise their hands. I remember looking around and smugly thinking, I'm so glad that's not me. I found my security and comfort in my family rather than God. I had made my parents, family, friends, and boyfriend all idols in my life. 6 months later, my parents said they were separating, which led to a divorce a year later. My heart became like stone. I was a beginner, was bitter, and I began to hate God. How could a God of love allow something like divorce to happen to me? I thought I deserved better. I ran from God and I ran to people in another relationship to solve my problems. I clung to the things of this world, hoping to find peace, comfort, and joy. I was angry, frustrated, lonely, and in pain. My heart needed to be healed, and I knew God could only heal my heart, but I didn't want that. God was graciously allowing everything I had dearly clung on to be stripped away from me. I was in a state of brokenness and helplessness when Jesus gently called my name in love. The Father, my Savior, was reaching His hand down to me after forsaking Him for so long. I desperately needed to be reminded of the gospel, that God's grace ultimately covers my sin because of what His Son did for me on the cross. Jesus bore all my sin and shame so that I could be a child of God. Today, I know that it is His redeeming love that has drawn me to Him. My heart has been filled with a love for God and with a desire to obey. The Lord will finish the sanctifying work He started in me for my good in all things. It was God who powerfully took hold of my cold, angry, bitter heart. God has made me his own in spite of who I am, and I can do absolutely nothing apart from him. I can cling to his truth that he will never leave me or forsake me. And it was his pleasure to save me, redeem, and connect a broken sinner to the life I have in Jesus now. I am his clay that he is molding, and I want to thank him and praise him for choosing me to be a daughter of the King. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus today, and I'd like to be baptized out of obedience and praise for what he has done in my life and what he will do in the future, which was only made possible because of his grace. Thank you.
Lindsay, I praise God for what he is doing in your life. Lindsay, on the profession of your faith, it's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Katie Kingla.
Hi, good morning. God is really, really good because he let me listen to all of that, and that's awesome. My name is Katie Kingla, and he changed my heart too, and I'm really excited to share all of that with you right now. I grew up going to church, so from a young age I was taught truth. When I was 8 years old, I really wanted to be baptized, so I prayed, but my heart wasn't changed at that time. There was no repentance. I didn't turn from the ways of this world. At that time, I started to live in an understanding that Romans 6:2 didn't exist, and that I could sin all the more and grace would abound. So my hard heart led up to my junior high years, where I was really, really rebellious, and I didn't honor my father at all. And our relationship got really rocky at that time. And things didn't get any better with that when I started dating a boy my sophomore year of high school. I quickly let him become my God, and in the 2 years that we dated, he was able to convince me that I had a terrible father. I should hate my dad, and he was the only person that ever would love me and ever could love me. By the grace of God, I'm not in that relationship anymore, and it was God's hand that brought me out of that. But instead of turning to God and pursuing Christ with the understanding that God brought me out of it, I turned to the party scene. And for about a year, I was living that lifestyle, and it was just not healing my heart at all. I was completely broken, but my heart was not healed. And so I decided I was tired of that, and I decided to stop, but that was all on my own accord. And because it was on my own accord, I quickly reverted back to that lifestyle. A couple months later, however, God started to work on my heart, and I am eternally grateful for that. I started reading a book just with, biblical references in it, and that just led me to thinking about God often, and then it led me to realizing my sin as sin for the first time. And when I was reminded of my sin and realizing that my sin was sin, I was reminded of Christ's work on the cross, that God has sent his son to be a perfect sacrifice. He was sinless. He was pure. He was holy. He was righteous in all he did. And he died for me so that I could have life. He died for everything that I was living in, everything that I had done past up to that point, and everything I was going to do. I was able to understand for the first time that God gave Christ what I deserve so that I could have what Christ deserves. I finally understood grace. After God revealed all of that to me, I felt overwhelmingly in love with the Lord. I was able to recognize his hand in all things. He allowed me to think less of myself and the desires of my heart and to live in a manner that would bring him glory above all else. And I was able to understand for the first time that God provided his word so that I could know him more, and that's so sweet. One of the sweetest mercies that he has allowed me was the healed relationship with my earthly father. after almost 8 years of not being able to hold a conversation with my dad for longer than 5 minutes. I can now talk to my dad for 3 hours straight without a problem. God is so good and merciful. He healed my brokenness. He brought me to an understanding of surpasses anything I had ever known before, that his son died for me, and because of that, I can have life. Jesus died for my sin. I get to be called holy, righteous, and a daughter of the Most High because he endured the wrath that God had for me on the cross. And I'm here to be baptized today because God saved me from a really bad place, and I'm so grateful for that.
Katie, I am so glad that you are here being baptized, but I'm glad, too, that you got a scholarship to ASU and you moved to Tempe. Katie, because of your profession and faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.